adopting pretty extreme public policy measures that I think have very negative implications for our freedom and our well-being.
Those so-called scientists one might call modern-day flat earthers.
You might. A good example of this, the Surgeon General just released a big study. I've got a copy of it on my desk. 727 pages on secondhand smoke, the health consequences of involuntary exposure to...
Everybody knows it causes cancer, Joe.
Well, at high enough levels and for long enough periods of exposure, it probably does have health consequences. The question is, how great is it and what should we do about it? And the answer from most credible scientists is that the risk of bad health effects from being exposed to secondhand smoke is actually very small. The largest study that was done of the spouses of smokers, tracked them for 39 years, University of California, Berkeley, and New York University, City University of New York, together did the study, published in the British Medical Journal 2003, found no relationship at all between exposure to secondhand smoke and either mortality or morbidity, diseases that might be attributable to the secondhand smoke.
I didn't hear that on the network news.
Yeah, it didn't get a heck of a lot of attention because it goes against the thrust of political consensus, not scientific consensus, but political consensus. One of the things that's driving this is money. You won't be surprised to know that. When the tobacco companies negotiated a settlement with the attorney generals, 47 states, 1998, the settlement created the American Legacy Foundation. That's the organization that runs all the television ads against smoking. Ken, can you guess what the net assets of the American Legacy Foundation are, according to its latest tax return?
The net.
Take a wild guess.
Now, what is their fund? Their funding is from lawsuits?
Their funding, yes, it's from tobacco companies, which means it's from smoking.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Jesus. $300 billion? Is that too high?
You darn libertarians. You always, actually, it's $1 billion. It's just over
$1 billion.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
A lot of money.
And how many is $1 billion if we stacked? I don't know. Forget it. Who knows?
How many hairs?
It goes on to the moon or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's a huge amount of money, and it all comes from smokers. So smokers themselves are being taxed out of this world, and then on top of that, the tobacco companies raise the price of cigarettes in order to make this huge payment every year to attorney generals. The result is about $3 per pack. It's just straight up taxes and fees that smokers are paying. But it's an outrageous thing. And as libertarians, as people who are concerned about individual freedom, you got to look around and say, even if I'm not a smoker, to impose unlimited taxes on one group of people based on a public mania, a public delusion, that's got to be a huge risk to my freedoms, because once they're done with the smokers, who are they going to come after? They're going to come after guys who drink beer or who drink alcohol or drive cars, use gasoline. They're going to come after your house. They're going to come after your income. Yeah. So you got to draw lines. You got to defend the people who are being singled out for discriminatory taxes today. And that's smokers.
And all kidding aside, I'm really outraged that, it hasn't been implemented yet, I assume, but in the city of Chicago, or maybe has, because I'm already boycotting their restaurants, you cannot go in a restaurant and smoke a cigarette or a cigar in Chicago, or if not now, they've passed an ordinance that at a certain point in time you can't.
Yeah, they've passed the ordinance, kicks in, I guess all restaurants are smoke-free now, and then bars...
Is that absurd? The only thing that's more absurd to me, Joe, is that you can't go to an Irish pub in Ireland and smoke a cigarette. I mean, there's some real bad disconnect there.
My wife and I went to Ireland in 2001, and some of these pubs, you'd open the door and the smoke would just kind of roll out.
Okay, they just pay the fine, so it's worth more to them than pay the fine.
That was back in 2001. Now,
oh, that was before, okay.
That was before, yeah. So it really was kind of part of the experience of an Irish pub, these
sure.
old guys sitting around puffing off, but apparently not anymore.
And my understanding is that, what's his name, Richard Melman? Head of Let Us Entertain You
mm-hmm.
restaurants was right at the top of the fight to stop the rights of owners, restaurant owners, to decide their own policy, whether or not they would allow smoking or not, because he happened to have smoke-free restaurants, right? Was it to his competitive advantage to do that? So that if I'm not going to allow smokers in my restaurant, then I'm making darn well sure that you're not going to make any profits on people who do want to smoke.
Exactly.
And they're going to have to go to my restaurant. I'll tell you what, I'm never going to a Lettuce Entertain Your restaurant again. And I would suggest everybody out there who cares about rice, whether it's smoking or otherwise, that you do the same. I think people like Melman ought to be shunned.
I think I would agree with that.
Back to the book.
Let me mention, this is Heartland's 12th book, I think, or maybe 14th book that we've published over the years. The entire text of the book is on our website at heartland.org. That's HEARTLAND.ORG. So you can just download the whole book there, or you can buy copies of it. It's $5.95 a copy. We have significant discounts if you want to buy lots of copies and give them away to friends. And we also have a program now where we're going to bars and piano clubs and trying to get the bar owners to agree to put a stack of the books on their counter with a little sign that says, here's a free copy of a book. Go pick it up.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then get the bar owners to buy them at bulk. You know, they're like all of a buck a copy or something to print. So if we can sell them by the box full, the bar owners who are on the front lines of this fight, they ought to pick it up and start to defend themselves.
Well, let's tell the truth here, Joe. You're just in the hands of those big corporate giants, R.J. Reynolds and such, and... you're just a lackey for the tobacco companies, aren't you?
No, that is the only argument that the other side seems to have left. And they're playing that card over and over and over again. In fact, today there's a piece in the St. Petersburg Digest or Journal in Florida accusing us of being wholly owned by Walmart. Because we're owned by everybody. They can't make up their mind who we're in the back pocket of, because they accuse us of being owned by all these guys. Just to put it in a nutshell, tobacco companies do contribute to the Heartland Institute. They give us about maybe 1%, maybe 2% of our budget, all told, have for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They might for the next couple of years, but I sort of doubt it. They're cutting way back on their charitable giving. They contribute to us because they agree with us,
mm-hmm.
not vice versa. I've been speaking out for smokers' rights and opposing high taxes on everything, including tobacco, since the Heartland Institute was created 22 years ago. So, you know, we get donors because they agree with us. No corporation gives more than 5% of our budget. So we can and often do turn off our donors by taking positions that are based on principles that they disagree with. And we just say, so long. We'll find other donors who agree with us on principle.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Joseph Bass, president of the Heartland Institute, with his new book out, Don't Poop in My Salad.
Yep, Please Don't Poop in
My Salad. Please Don't Poop in My Salad. It's a very polite title. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. You want to talk about, probably any public policy issue will do, but specifically smokers' rights would do wonderfully. Give us a call, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Josh Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. Josh Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Josh Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Three of the Rings. We're talking with Joseph Bass, president of the Heartland Institute. Please don't poop my salad and other essays. Why don't we go to the phones, Joe?
Sure.
All right. Well, we got Tom on the line. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hi, guys. I got a question. How come all these communities want to ban cigarette smoking and stuff, but they never tell these politicians, when you ask them how much does the cigarette tax bring to your community each year? None of them have an answer for you. They don't want to let you know how many tax dollars off the cigarettes come back to the community.
That is a good question. I wonder if they think that banning smoking in bars and restaurants won't have any effect on cigarette sales in the community.
And if they've had any, you know, if they take a strong stand, they would just ban the sales of cigarettes in your community. But they won't do that because they need the tax dollars, but they will never tell you how much money comes back in the community.
Would that be constitutional? Of course, it's unconstitutional what they're doing now. Would that be even more unconstitutional to try to ban cigarette sales in a community?
I'm not sure that it
I mean, you can ban drinking, you can ban sales of alcohol.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'd say it's a violation of the Ninth Amendment, but what do I know?
And if you buy the cigarettes online, the state tries to come after you for the tax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course there's a lot of that going on now. If you bought your cigarettes over the internet over the last 2, 3, 4 years, chances are you've gotten warning letters from the state, and they've been very aggressive trying to collect those taxes. It is an interesting question whether a local government can ban smoking or the sale of cigarettes. I'd be interested in if any legal experts are out there. I can maybe ask around and see just what the law would be on that.
Okay. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call, Tom. All right, we've got John. Hi, John.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Joe.
Hello, John.
We seem to have a pretty bad connection here. Joe, if you can hear me,
I can.
Is your annual fundraising dinner coming up?
An unsolicited call, I'm sure.
I had nothing to do with this. But thank you very much for asking. Yes, it is. October 5th is Heartland's 22nd anniversary benefit dinner. It's taking place downtown Chicago at the Hilton Hotel right on Michigan Avenue. We got two terrific speakers, Richard Epstein, who's a professor of law at the University of Chicago, one of the great authorities on takings and eminent domain in the country.
Well, Joe, let me interject just for a second. I saw Richard, how long ago did you have him? About 8 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, 8 or 10 years ago.
Oh, boy, does time fly. This guy is absolutely fascinating, but you better be taking notes. You better prepare and eating all your brain food that you possibly could, because his mind works so fast, and he assumes your mind works as fast as he does.
It was an incredible speech that he gave last time. I was sitting at the head table next up there while he was giving his speech. And everybody in the room, I looked out across the room, everybody's jaw is kind of
dropped, because there was not one pause. He didn't even look at notes, as I recall.
I don't think he did. You're right.
And it was like he was giving a lecture at University of Chicago, but it was incredible. It was the smartest mind I've ever experienced watching.
I think he is one of the most brilliant people in the libertarian movement, but he's also very funny.
And
fascinating, just really interesting. So don't feel like you got to be super smart to show up at our annual benefit. The second speaker is Robert Sirico, Father Robert Sirico. He is the head of the Acton Institute. The Acton Institute is a libertarian/conservative organization aimed at introducing ministers and people of faith to free market ideas. They've been doing a tremendous job. Father Sirico is a tremendous spokesperson for free market ideas. So we're going to have Richard Epstein, whose latest book is titled Skepticism and Liberty, and Father Sirico, who talks about faith and liberty. And we're going to have the two of them kind of do side-by-side presentations, maybe some interaction and some dialogue between them to kind of get a sense of how do you communicate the free market message to people who are skeptics on the one hand and true believers on the other hand. It should be
fun. That sounds really interesting, Joe. I wish I could. This is the first one I'm going to miss in I don't know how long. I will be on my honeymoon in San Diego.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Well, you know, we all have our priorities, Ken. Oh, you can choose. You know, that's fine if you don't really care about freedom. Those of you who do
it's a tough thing, Joe, but that second week of our honeymoon, my wife actually is going to have her business seminar going on in San Diego, so I'm going to be forced to play golf in the morning and lay on the beach in the afternoon. It's a tough sacrifice, but I'm willing to do it.
Not nearly as much of a sacrifice as the other people on the beach will be made.
Oh, you are cruel. Okay. All right, so
very good.
The lines have been drawn. All right. So skepticism and liberty. Why don't you give us a real quick overview of that for the people that might want to make interest in them more to come?
Okay. As certainly Ken, as you know, and many other people know, the founding fathers back in the 18th century thought that religious belief was very important to freedom, that our rights were God-given, that they were natural rights, and they had a very coherent theory of the role of religion in human freedom. So for a century and a half, the case for limited government often reverted back to comments about or fundamentally religious or natural law type arguments. In the last 100 years, the consensus surrounding religion has pretty much collapsed. More and more people are secular humanists, are skeptics, don't believe that there is a single truth or a single source of truth, that my truth might be different from your truth because of my background or our different experiences. So they're not as quick to embrace the kinds of arguments that an earlier generation that was faith-based would embrace. So they don't necessarily fall for or agree with a natural rights kind of approach or God-given rights.
If I can interject, as Ayn Rand would have put in the, maybe not in the exact terms, those who advocated such that there are different truths dependent upon different people's perceptions negated their whole ability to communicate that. So how can we even agree with such a notion when they've negated their ability to have a single understanding of the truth of communication?
Mm-hmm. Well, that inconsistency didn't keep a million academics from becoming professionals and nihilists and existentialists.
Right.
You're right, there's a fundamental contradiction at the heart of it that should have crippled it, and common sense people, I don't think, ever really bought into it. But certainly among the elites, among journalists, among academics, this skepticism, moral skepticism, is the rule, not the exception. So Richard Epstein has been taking it upon himself to kind of rebuild the case for classical liberalism without having to rely on religious faith or natural law doctrine. He devotes a whole book to it, I think.
Oh, it's not even natural law.
Not even natural law, no.
Huh, that's interesting.
Well, Richard has been kind of a rules utilitarian along the Hayekian kind of line rather than an act of rights.
I guess so, although he seemed like he rode the fence more on that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, and kind of interestingly, he's been sort of driven out of the libertarian movement. He doesn't call himself a libertarian anymore. He's a classical liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And he identifies libertarians as being more anarchist than he's willing to be.
Mm-hmm.
you're familiar with that.
In internecine, I guess, arguments that can go on for a long time amongst the movement. That's all definitional.
Yeah.
Well, Father Sirico, with faith and liberty, he's going to present a more traditional approach, Thomas Aquinas approach to liberty, maybe?
He would probably argue that the natural law tradition, which St. Thomas Aquinas was a big part of, is still vibrant and still intellectually defendable. I'm also hoping he'll comment on the whole radical Islam movement and what that says about the role of religious belief and freedom. Harking back to Ayn Rand, you know, Rand would have put religious conviction right up there with statism and collectivism as an enemy of freedom.
Right, right.
Let's hear it from a Catholic priest who thinks that there's complete harmony between his personal religious faith and individual liberty.
I've heard some Christians say that you can't believe in Christianity without being libertarian. But I don't know if Father Sirico would go that far, but it's an interesting proposition. We do have Jeff on the line. Let's not let him wait any longer. How you doing, Jeff?
So what an intellectual, discussion here. It's going over my head. No.
Whoops.
Well, he got you nailed, though, there earlier about that San Diego bit, man. That's a scary thought, laying on the beach. Oh, boy. Hey, Ken.
How would you know, Jeff?
Oh, I know you, Ken, you know.
Oh, I got a radio stalker on my hand.
Hey, I wanted to throw something out there at you guys. Now, you know,
I got a body made for radio, by the way, so go ahead.
You guys gotta watch this radio, right? 9/11. All right, I've turned into an isolationist, and I'll tell you why I've turned into an isolationist. This administration and previous administrations have let this, in order to try and chase people all around the world, they let the place go, basically. Didn't keep their house in order. And I firmly believe that if we pull out of Iraq, because it doesn't matter whether we wait 10 years or do it now, it's all going to come down to them coming back in again. I firmly believe that we need to start taking care of our own here and trying to reorganize our politics, because right now, and Ken has brought this up, everything, it seems like we're losing jobs to other countries, people are getting laid off, regardless of what the stock market and people in there say, well, what do they know? Half the time they're guessing anyway. You know, the bottom line is we need to start doing a defense instead of an offense, and quit meddling in other people's affairs, because that's what I think 99% of the problem is. And I know there's people out there that say that if we have to have some dealing with these terrorists. And I said, no, we don't. You know, they're still going to want to hit people. They're still going to be ticked off at people no matter what you do. Let's just cut the mustard here and run. Get back to our, you know, own country, start taking care of ourselves. Get the proper security, secure the borders, and I guess what I'm, and that's kind of like a statement, or, you know.
Yeah, I think we get the point of your question, Jeff. Let's show response. Of course, Joe, I know that you deal with the state and local issues as president of the Heartland Institute, so maybe you want to tackle this just from your personal viewpoint, not Heartland's. I don't know. That's up to you.
Even I thought Jeff gave an excellent overview and justification for what I think is the correct libertarian approach to this, which is this, you can say isolationist or non-interventionist foreign policy. It's amazing to me that we haven't focused on securing our own defense here at home, and I have great doubts about why we're in Iraq. But having said that, Heartland doesn't address foreign policy at all, and I've discovered that any time I mention foreign policy, I get negative pushback from one side or the other.
Well, it's an emotional, very emotional situation right now.
Yeah, exactly. And people just get very upset no matter what I say on it, so I've said all I'll say on it.
I wish you guys would focus on that. I mean, in the big scheme of things, and I hate to say this, I know you got to keep out of it, but it does make a difference sometimes. I think we do too much muscle and not enough talking. You know, the UN is just, it's impotent anyway. And I think pretty much most people in this country understand that UN is impotent. But, you know, it comes down to saving jobs. I mean, I don't know about Ken's wife, but my wife is in the corporate world. And I've seen it turned upside down in just the last 4 or 5 years. And more than anything than in the last 20. She's been with one company for 28, going 29 years. And it's about ready to go down the toilet. It's a major corporation. And I'm watching it. It's all for the sake of the almighty dollar and, you know, get it cheaper somewhere else, Walmart style. And that's what it's come down to. And
you ever shop at Walmart, Jeff?
No, I don't. I told
really?
You, I never. There's nothing there I want, Ken.
I got to tell you, I really, on this issue, and we've talked about this before, I disagree with you. Let me make a real quick point. Well, you know, we bought this park bench that has, you know, the really heavy iron with the wood slats, you know. It seems to me back in the 1950s probably cost about $150. And you can get them now for $30 or less because they're made in China or something like that. And I'll tell you what, Jeff, I think international trade is wonderful. What it's kind of saved this company, the economy, from completely being in the complete dump, in my opinion.
Well, yes and no. See, you have to look at the big picture. There's, if you look at like the steel industry, if you look at, you know, and some of the people in the industry of manufacturing in general, they have gone down the toilet 75%, you know, in the last decade. And sure, it's not about making quality, Ken. It's about making, it's the quantity.
Yeah,
quantity over quality now.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, well, there's a couple of reasons I can attribute this to. It'd be the cost of wages, or the cost of big labor, and the cost of the pension benefits, because that's what everybody's doing.
Okay,
you know,
I got it. You know what? I kind of shut you out of this. Jeff, we got your point. Did you want to make one final comment on this show, or you want to move on?
I was enjoying the conversation, so I don't mind.
All right. Well, I didn't want to steal your time, you know. So.
But, you know, internationalism, international trade, ultimately the most important thing is the customer, not the producer. So if Walmart and increasing outsourcing is driving down prices, as it definitely is, as Ken observed and as I see all every day, that's a good thing. There is creative destruction. A lot of people lose their jobs. There's a lot of reorganization. But ultimately, it's all about what benefits the consumer, and there's no question that Walmart and growing international trade benefits the consumer.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Jeff. Didn't mean to cut you off, buddy. We just have to move on. All right, we're talking with Joseph Bass, president of the Heartland Institute. Joe, one more time, or I don't even know if we did this. How can people sign up for your annual benefit dinner?
They can... go on our website. You can register to attend on the website. That's, once again, heartland.org, www.heartland.org. Or you can call our office. The number here is 312-377-4000, 312-377-4000. Last year we had about 550 people attend. Each year we get right around 500 to 600 people. We fill the grand ballroom at the Hilton Towers Hotel on Michigan Avenue. I mean, it's just a spectacular evening. it'd be great if some of your listeners were to come by, buy single tickets, or even buy a table. Really impress your friends. This is the largest celebration of freedom in Chicago, I think in the Midwest, each year. So it's a great place to be on October 5th.
And I've heard both speakers speak before, and I really highly recommend it. It'll be a fascinating evening, so I'd really recommend checking that out. All right, this is Freedom Rings, and I'm Kenneth John talking with Joseph Fast, 847-931-1410. If you have any comments, questions, observations, perceptions, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
We'll be right back.
right, we are back at Freedom Ring, and Joe, we got a full bank of calls. Let's go right to them. And hello, Mike.
Morning, Ken. Morning, Joe. How are you doing today?
Great.
Good morning.
I'm enjoying the program. Hey, Ken, I just want to let you know I sent you a copy of an email, What Is Income. Apparently, our friends at the IRS have lost another small case in the U.S. District Court.
I've read about that. I haven't read the details yet. It's very interesting. I will also predict that it'll be overturned at appellate level.
Well, it may be, but the point is, you know, the judge cites in about page 15, halfway down, he states specifically in there that, you know, the IRS cannot indiscriminately go around willy-nilly doing as it pleases and must adhere to the original intent of the law, which they were not doing.
What a concept.
But anyways, like I said, it's out there. It's another small victory, and I just figured I'd let you know about it, and I'm really enjoying the program you guys got down there.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, and we got John. Hi, John.
Hi, Joe. What's the law at the Hilton Head Towers regarding smoking, and if that's going to affect your venue in the future years?
I believe that we are allowed to smoke at this year's annual benefit. I don't know about next year, starting next year. We usually give away free cigars at the end of the annual benefit, and then people are invited to stick around and smoke cigars in the grand ballroom. And we told the hotel we plan to do that again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't protested, so we assume we're good to go for this year.
And in the future, that's with the Cook County law going into effect, all over Cook
question.
County.
I haven't given any thought to that. Maybe we need to move it out of Cook County. We might very well do that.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, John. Okay, Brent. Hi.
Well, actually, Grant, yeah, that's fine. Got a bit of a news flash for people, and this is something along the lines of political correctness run amok, and sometimes we have to remember as libertarians it can cut both ways. There is a new case that just happened, and I follow these things as they happen on the education scene, since that seems to be the biggest case is lately of free speech violations and academic freedom. A professor over at Roosevelt University, that's a private secular college in Chicago, has been fired simply because he taught a class with neutrality on the issue of Judaism and Islam. His dean told him, even though this was a religion class, that he was not supposed to allow the Muslim students to talk about the subject of Zionism or Islam, and because that they should not be treated equally, and that was their own words. And now, not only has the whole adjunct professor faculty come in support of them, but the university is refusing to do any interviews, and they are refusing to issue a press release. This is all factual, and for those who want to find the full story and find out more, this is not a joke. What I said is absolutely serious. It's probably the most heinous case of political correctness run amok. People can go to the site www.grantsrant, that's grantsrant.com/Giles, G-I-L-E-S. The professor's name is Douglas Giles. This is a very serious case, and it's something you may be hearing a lot more about, but it's probably important for libertarians to rally behind somebody, especially on the issue of academic freedom for all. So I'll just point out the notice for people here that are listening, and I thank you for allowing me the floor.
Okay. Thanks, Brent. And any quick comment on that, Joe?
Sounds like an important case. And there's a national group out there called FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, that has a good free market kind of approach, and they come to the defense of academics and students who are being confronted with speech codes. They must have a website, yeah, thefire.org, thefire.org. Might want to check them out and maybe refer information about this case to them.
Very good. Okay, Joe, Heartland Institute, heartland.org. People can get information at your website, correct?
That's correct.
All right, thanks so much again for being on Freedom.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Ken. Take care. Okay.
All right, and all you all should remember that my favorite standby quotation, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.